The book of Philippians. What a great book it is. It's one of my favorite, and I've called what I'm going to share here this morning, No Longer Anxious. No Longer Anxious. I want to read, I won't read it all, but I want to read it, chapter 4 and verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Would you bow with me? Lord, we thank you for this, your word. We pray that you would make it a rhema word, a living word, that we will say, I received something this morning. So, Lord, I open my heart to you and let the Spirit of God speak through me. And, Lord, just give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church here today. And we'll thank you in your wonderful name. I don't know why we like that verse as much as we do, but I don't know anyone who doesn't say, that Philippians 4 really does it for me. It's such a wonderful passage. And, of course, they're right. And I think it's partly is that we turn to this passage when we're distraught. We turn to this passage when we're overwhelmed. When you say, oh, Lord, I'm so nervous and worried about this that and next thing we find ourselves turning to Philippians 4. There's other verses as well. And I think one of the things that is probably true of this is that there's two impossible things in this passage. And I'm just going to touch on them just ever so slightly. But two invisible things. One is the command to rejoice in the Lord always. We're not to merely rejoice in the Lord because something isn't working out right. We're to rejoice in the Lord always. That's the command. Now, the reason it's impossible is because nobody ever feels like doing that at the time. When you're up to your armpits in alligators, but yet you know you've been sent in to drain the swamp, it's not so easy. Matter of fact, it's always. You mean when? Yes. And what? Yes. Yes. Yeah, and that too. All the time. What a challenge. To rejoice in the Lord always. Today, tomorrow, every situation, I'm commanded to be obedient and bless the name of the Lord. What an opportunity to trust Him. Because I find when my heart has been broken, it's not easy. Or when something has frightened me or scared me or made me full of fear, it seems difficult. Does it not? It seems difficult to be. I feel like a hypocrite. Here I am, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And it kind of dribbles off your chin. And praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Oh, man. I feel like my prayers are going to the ceiling, and that's all. They're just going to that ceiling, and I rejoice in the Lord always. How could that be? How is that possible? Well, it must be possible, but in the natural, it is impossible. Nobody feels like it. For example, our dear widow that I just mentioned to you, whose husband was killed in the motorcycle accident. Well, if we were to say to her, Helen, just rejoice. Just rejoice in the Lord. Always, sister. Yes. Well, because actually I do know people who treat it that way. It would be difficult. It would be hard without feeling like you're just going through motions. Don't you think so? When you find out there's no money in your account, praise the Lord always. Rejoice. Wow. When something happens in a relationship that it goes sideways, what do we do with a thing like that? Say, well, there's other fish in the sea. Yeah, we kind of know this, and yet we don't know it. But as he said, this is, and again, he says, I rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, follow that, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. When someone has passed away, yes. When it didn't work out at all, my job didn't work out, matter of fact, I lost my job, yes, you will rejoice. See, this is the real test of things. That's why I've called them two impossible things. And I'll make some sense of this later. There's another thing. And here's what it is. Do not be anxious about anything. Number one, rejoice in the Lord always. So that's a hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. The second part, do not be anxious about anything. I have certain things that cause me anxiety. In some cases, they didn't used to, but they do now. I've switched my fears. Haven't you? Some of you, you've switched your fears. That was a fear, isn't anymore. Whereas at one time I would not have, wouldn't have bothered me. Now it bothers me, if I'm honest. Val tells me that I have more fears than I used to. She said, you're much more fear. I said, no, I'm much more cautious. I'm cautious. She said, I don't know, I hope so. Where she's getting bolder and wilder and crazier. How is that possible? How does that happen, right? Just true, though. Ask her. But you know, there are some things. When I was 20, how much do you think I thought about health issues? Zero. Not for one second would I have thought about, well, I hope I keep my health. Now, when I hear other people who are in my zone, anyway, at least in the zone, you know when the conversation is, well, how's your prostate? The guys are talking, did you get your prostate checked? Whoever asked that when you were younger? Nobody. In other words, right, we're just kind of, What didn't bother us then now makes us wonder, at least for some of us. So, do not be anxious about anything, but rejoice always. I think whenever we're able, I think there, as I've talked about a 15-minute window, that it's okay to fall apart for a few moments. I think the Lord is understanding in that way. But not beyond, because then it becomes unbelief. And then it just isn't healthy for us. So we can be a little bit conscious, cautious, but not. We can't stay that way. We can't stay worrying. And so as we're challenged, these are two impossible things. One, to rejoice always, because we end up not, if I said, have you been rejoicing today? Say, no, I got bad news about my loved one. Well, did you not praise the Lord? No, I didn't praise the Lord. Don't you think you should? Or are you a legalist? No, not a legalist, but the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always, and it says, do not be anxious about anything. So if that be true, it must be true. God wants me to embrace that. And so that's the two impossible things. And because to make it in the natural, you will not, you'll fall apart. You will exhibit traits that is anything but faith. So, what does it mean? How is it possible then, in the midst of a crisis, or even a small crisis, what's one awful feeling? It's when you realize you don't know where your wallet is. Have you had that? You know, you say, oh, and you just kind of, my wallet. We run around here madly doing that, the whole staff. Where's your wife? See my wallet? No, your wallet. Was it anywhere? We're in the office. I don't know. Was it in the office? Maybe it was. And we're going around crazy looking for our maybe that's a sign of him. Who knows what? But just as that initial feeling, I had my credit cards in there. Many a time we have, phoned down to the restaurant. Did you see it? No. Is there a person? No. Or we've gone back to the restaurant. Did somebody leave a purse? Yes, there's a purse there. Oh, good. Now, were we trusting the Lord? Yeah, kind of. But we were scared that there was that we had left our wallet out or whatever else it would be. So are we going to be that way the rest of our lives? I think unless we guard it a little bit, I think we'll become worry warts. That, see, it's one thing to have your feelings for a few minutes mixed up, you know, sudden news. When I heard about our brother Bill, I thought, oh, that's terrible. Right, from that moment. And it was and it is. I'm sure the Lord is showing himself precious to them even now. But how is it then, if we were to pull this off, to rejoice always and do not be anxious, there needs to be another component. And here it is. It's the Lord is near. The Lord is at hand. That's why you could this is possible. It's possible because the Lord is near. And he always is near to us. He's forever near to us. That's the part we're to remember. It's not that I'm to gain this wonderful, wonderful faith. No, it's there's something else. It's that the Lord is near. And he's at hand. So that's why we can have a faith measure where we're reaching out to the Lord and we're laying hold of him because he's near. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer, supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. So rather than worry and be anxious, which I can do that fairly well, some things, oddly enough, don't faze me at all. It just doesn't seem to be a fear or an anxiety. Other people, as I pray and talk with people, you know, I can relate to some things, but other things you can't relate to. Say, it hasn't been my experience. And it's not that I've got great faith, it's just that that's not one of my anxieties. For yourself, you could even write out, my major anxiety is what? Your marriage will fall apart. Is you're not going to get that job? I mean, think about what would cause an anxiety for you. But I know one thing: whatever it is, the Lord is near. The Lord is at hand, and we lay hold of him. We embrace, say, Lord, thank you that you're with me. Thank you, you're guiding me, directing me. You're going to show me what to do, and you're going to go ahead before me, and you'll be behind me. You will watch over me. And by the way, your journal is a good place to look to see what kind of words are coming from your heart. As I mentioned, I think it was last week, I've been keeping a journal since about 1971. And it's I don't write everything in, but I write some things. And especially, though, if something has been troubling me, I find it very helpful to write, you know, felt anxiety, this and I fill that out. Again, my wife Val, she's really keen on journaling, and you can go through her journal. Well, we could do that together. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, please throw my journal into the lake. That's our motto. If one of us goes, just burn it all. The Lord is near. That is a thing. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Never. And as we go through our journey of life, this is an opportunity. There's always opportunities to trust the Lord. It's just that it's not emotionally, you can be upset and discouraged because of that. But the Lord is at near. There's a second part of that, Philippians 4 and verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard and garrison, I think that's the actual word in there, will guard and garrison your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Your heart, where you feel, your mind, where you think. So one has to do with my thoughts, the other has to do with my choices. The Lord is at hand. Again, that's back again to that. So the reason that, because he's drawn near to me, I can be bold in my prayers. How say, how could you pray that? Because the Lord is at hand. The Lord is near. I can pray that. My bold prayers, I don't necessarily feel it. Right? I can't say I'm just flooded over with positive. No, many times not. But when I begin to bless the Lord in bold prayers, thank you, Lord, that you're with me. Thank you that you're going before me. See, what evidence do you have of that? I don't have any evidence other than that the Lord is near. He is near. He's close. He's at hand. And Paul's saying, that's why you can do this. Because if he's not near, you're just blowing in the wind. But the Lord is close to me. And by faith and all the promises, right? All the promises of God. How many, you think over the years, how that was a promise and that's a promise and that's a promise. And it's encouraging, it's strengthening in every way when you think of it. But in my journal, I'm no great superhero here at all, but I noticed that my prayers are thanking the Lord for his breakthroughs, binding the enemy. I have lots of verses about binding the enemy. And strong verses, really strong. Why? Because God will honor that. It's not about how much I muster up, but the fact that the Lord is near, I can be bold in my prayers. And that's one of the things that as a church, you can tell a lot about a church by the boldness of its prayers. When we pray together, is there that volume of praise that rises up? Yes, we bless your name, Lord. Never will you leave us nor forsake us. Thank you, God. And these bold prayers emanate from the church. People walk in and say, boy, this church really knows how to pray. Well, we learn how to pray, but it's because we know the Lord is near. When we call on him, he hears our prayers. And there might be a prayer that even right now, even as I'm speaking up here, that you're experiencing just a prayer from your heart. And maybe you might want to share that in a little while here. So the question is, if we're going to be bold in our prayers, how can we experience the nearness of God? If he's near, if that was the point Paul's making, then how do we feel his presence? How can we experience the nearness of God? I don't know if I know the whole answer to this, but I know that when I lift my hands and begin to praise him, remarkable things actually happen. And I would say if you can find a little quiet place and where you have some privacy, and I would just say get down on your knees. Well, if you can't, it'll be all right, but if you've got a bad knee or something, but just get down before the Lord and just tell the Lord that you love him. Lord, I love you. I praise you. Thank you. And what do you pray? You pray. It's in prayer that the breakthrough comes. That as you are, and it's amazing what actually happens. But we experience the nearness of God. That's how, Lord, I love you. Draw near to me as I draw near to you. Because that's what he said he would do. And I thank you for hearing my prayer. Thank you for watching over me. I thank you, Lord. And to be able to quote some scripture, I think that's a very, very powerful thing as well. But we experience it near. See, what I'm saying is not just that technically God is with us, but experientially, that the manifold presence of God, that it would be there. You find yourself wiping your tears because you feel his closeness. You're down on your knees and you're saying, I love you, God. I love you, God. Thank you for caring for me. Thank you for watching over me. Lord, I give that worry to you this morning. I surrender myself to you. I thank you, God, that you're right beside me. And I don't know, I'm by faith. By faith, I believe that. And I'm praising you, God, for your nearness. And you know, it for some, this is the, I don't mean to say this in a difficult or harsh way, but some people can't remember the last time they shed any tears in the presence of God. They said, do you ever find yourself weeping? No. I said, maybe a little? No. Because I think it's kind of technical, their prayers. But when you get down before God and you just begin to bless his name, you find yourself feeling, sensing his closeness. It's just, I think women maybe find this easier than men even, but I know this to be true. And that's how it's important that I stay there, stay in the moment, and I find lifting my hands produces something in me and in the environment. Lord, and sometimes I will even sing to the Lord. He likes it more than anybody does, I suspect. But nevertheless, I can sense the Lord's nearness as through prayer. And that's basically how this comes about, through prayer. So maybe what there could be a homework assignment here today. The homework assignment is that each day, at least, now you might, maybe some of you would say, what are they talking about? I pray more than that for you know. I would take 5 minutes, a five-minute prayer. And each day, at least you say, well, 5 minutes isn't long. You didn't say 55 or 105, just 5 minutes. 5 minutes and come into his presence and say, I love you, I bless you, I praise you, I thank you. I'm in awe of you. See, all these songs, can't live without you. I must have you close and near me. That's what those songs were about. And growing in the presence of the Lord. I'm going to see how long 5 minutes is. But can you imagine if this body right here, and of course the larger service in a few minutes here as well, can you imagine if we were all, for 5 minutes, praying? Matter of fact, that might be something we might want to do, even as we close here in a bit. Maybe we'll just take a few minutes and pray. Just to make the point. And so, how can we experience the nearness of God? Through prayer. And drawing near. Not waiting to see if anything happens to me. Just going to draw near. I love you, Lord. I love you. I praise you. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for your will for my life. Thank you, God. I'm the head, not the tail. Thank you, God. See, 5 minutes. Maybe we'll do that. This is becoming a stronger feeling here. I think we might do that. Just a couple of moments. And so, why? So you experience the nearness of God. I think he wants us to feel emotionally some things, not just truth. I mean, truth is always very important. But imagine if you do, every day, if you never felt anything, how do you feel about your wife? I need to think of her often and be grateful for her. You see, there's so many things to pray about. There's so many things to bring before the Lord. But let's use that as our homework assignment. That 5 minutes a day, at least for this next week, and see what will happen. See if there's not a greater sense of the Lord, and bring all your anxieties. Remember, we call it no longer anxious. Bring every anxiety. I'll bring mine. You bring yours. We're not praying together. We're just going to be knowing that as each person prays, that their heart and mind will be in that as well. So, number five. How do we grow in the awareness of the Savior's presence? I find as people share with each other, one of the things is just sharing together of your experience. I'm often inspired by people who, when I hear about their prayer life, or if I'm in the room where they're praying. And so we grow in the, I think it's an onward thing. When I was first saved, boy, those were pretty odd prayers, I think. I think I had the Holy Spirit on the cross and everything. It just, you know, you just get praying. It didn't even make sense, some of the prayers. But as I've grown over the years, as you've grown over the years, we grow in the awareness of God's presence. And that the prayer means not this dry, cold, harsh thing that you go through. You know, you don't worry about that. You just draw near to God so that you look forward to your times together and say, I love you, God. Thanks for watching over me today. Thanks for being with me today. It was really wonderful, God, and I know it was because of you. And so, God, I just want to tell you something. I want to tell you that I love you and that you're the best thing that ever happened to me. And so that's, you will grow. I can promise you that you will grow. You will. Number six, prayer invites us into the presence of God. Oh, I'm duplicating myself here, but that's, it's just true. When you pray, there's a point of prayer. Praying is not just something we go through. It's communication. And the people of God, are the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, pulling down our strongholds, but invites us into the presence of God so that you would feel even tears. That's not the goal, but I always worry that if I can go week after week and month after month and not shed any tears, what kind of relationship do I have? What is it about? Am I distant? Is he distant? What is going on? Because I'm to grow in the awareness of God's presence, that you would look forward to those times together, especially when you're alone with God. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, he talks about casting our cares on the Lord because he cares for us. It's so wonderfully, wonderfully true. Number 7, through prayer, we experience rejoicing and anxiety-free loving. I don't know about you, what you do in your private time, but once in a while, if Val's gone to bed, I will rejoice in my little office area, and I'll even dance before the Lord because I have that moment to do that. And I find myself rejoicing and looking forward to telling God that he's the number one thing in my life. I wish I was consistent because I haven't been. But when you have an opportunity for people to come into God's presence, then you can find that you will be able to rejoice in the Lord. It's something that will come to you. You can rejoice in it. Lord, do you feel anything? No, not necessarily. And you will not be anxious about anything because of the nearness of the Lord, that you've been with him and spending time with him. And therefore, we are able to go through difficulties and not completely fall apart. That's the whole point. Anxiety-free loving. You have yourself a little bit of a moment to fall apart. And then after that, God, I'm trusting you and blessing you and looking to you. Now, here's what we're going to do. We're going to just take 5 minutes. And you can sit, you can stand, you can do whatever you want to do. But since I'm not going to be looking around, but you might want to just raise your voice and don't pray long, but pray so that we can hear. There might be something about some anxiety that you want to bring. Say, Lord, I pray today, you know, we'd be more, whatever it would be. And then we'll call you back again. But just where you are, or you can come and kneel at the front. We'll take a few minutes. But we're speaking of prayer. Let's do it. Let's spend a few minutes just in his presence doing that. I can remember many years ago, Ed Hurd and I and a few others were having an all-night prayer meeting. Some of you might have been in there. And we were dancing before the Lord. It was about 3 a.m. There was about six of us there maybe, not too many. But we had the place to ourselves. And we were dancing before the Lord, and Ed said to me, Owen, you're a Pentecostal. You must have... You must have been in a lot of all-night prayer meetings. And part of me, I say, yeah, those prayer meetings, yeah, those were great moments. It was great. Truth of the matter, I'd never been in one before. An all-night prayer meeting. But it was prayer. By 6 o'clock, we were just bagged, but it was prayer unto the Lord, heartfelt prayer. And I think it's funny how there's not a certain way of doing prayer. There's different ways. But it's linked to praising God. So anyway, what I'd like you to do, let's stand together. Let's just lift our voices, and I'll dismiss us, but let's just lift our voices to the Lord like the Koreans do. We can learn much from them. And so that I'll count to three, and then we'll just praise the Lord. And see, rejoice in the Lord. And these impossible things become possible when we're rejoicing. They just, things just come together. So one, two, three. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Bless your holy name. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Wonderful God. None like you, Lord. None like you. Thank you. Oh, bless your name. You are so wonderful, God. We love you. You're fantastic, God. Thank you. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Yes, Lord. We rejoice in the Lord. We thank you for your supply, your bountiful supply. Lord, we give you thanks. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. You know, I think we can make it. I think we can make it through life if we know the Lord and that we have a relationship with others. You can make it. Can you imagine the people that don't have a relationship with God and they don't have a relationship with others? So this is our team. We're here together. These are our friends who we hang out with. So that we can, and we strengthen that, so that we say, "Well, I want to spend maximum time, doing the right thing." And if you're new here, boy, you let us pray with you because you need some friends here. You want more than you need. We all do, we all do. And then when those challenges come, you got someone to say, "Would you pray with me?" And it's so valuable, so important. Now, somebody came up and gave me a note here, and I forgot who was that who wants prayer for this? Somebody want a prayer for this right after the service, you said.
No, I wanted to
have. I'm sorry. I didn't realize it was you. I didn't turn around, so, okay. You're very good. No, very good. Well, let's go. By the way, this is, at the end of the week is Halloween, so we want to counteract that. Val, is that thing on? Okay. Yeah, Jorge knows. So wherever there's a Friday night gathering. Is it Friday night? Is that the one at night? It's not on? All right, it's gone. Well, let's rejoice anyway. So be aware that those dark the celebrations are not part of what we do. So we don't celebrate death. We celebrate life. Amen. Amen. Come to the other part of the fellowship from prayer to coffee. Okay, we'll see you out here.